makes you go drunk or makes you lose your sense, two bottles, one drop of it is haram. So this means there's no such thing as a social drinker, a social user. Have you understood this? So look what this Arab said. He goes, why don't you drink? And he goes, I'm off my head as it is. And you want me to take that and then go more off my head? So again, you know, they had understanding and they were very humble as well. It has also been said in Imam Ahmad's Musnad Abu Nu'aym al-Hilya, whoever acts on what he knows, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then give him knowledge of what he does not know. Now look at this report. First of all, it's not back to the Prophet. There's a reason for that. It's da'if. But it's a report from the Salaf. What does the report say? It didn't say whoever increases his knowledge, Allah ta'ala will give him more. It doesn't say that. Whoever acts on what he knows, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then give him knowledge of what he does not know. Right? You understand? In other words, if you don't act upon it, you won't be getting anything else. You might just get useless, like, information. That's not helping you. In fact, that's a burden now. In Ibn Abi Shaybah, number 17,185, Abu Nu'aym al-Hilya, it mentions, the reward of good is what it initiates. The reward of good is what it initiates. This is similar to the words of the Almighty and Glorious, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, Surah 19, Surah Maryam alayhi salam, verse 76. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajeem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases in guidance those who pursue the path of guidance. What does the Almighty say, subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases in guidance, not knowledge, guidance, those who pursue the path of guidance. The wording is very important. If he had said knowledge, subhanahu wa ta'ala, we would have got more knowledge. He's not saying that, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because those who want guidance, pursue it, make effort in that area, I will give them the path to guidance. And similarly, in the Quran again, in Surah 47, verse 17, the Almighty and Glorious Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajeem, as for those who accept to be guided, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala increases them in guidance and bestows upon them piety. You must accept the guidance as well. The pious predecessors of Rahmatullah alayhi would frown upon those who would not act upon their knowledge. This is obvious. Well, I'll mention a few examples. Imam Zahabi, Rahmatullah alayhi, in his Siyar 11-298, Ibrahim ibn Muhammad ibn Sufyan, Rahmatullah alayhi, relates, I heard Asim ibn Asim al-Bayhaqi, Rahmatullah alayhi, say, I stayed overnight with Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Rahmatullah alayhi, in his dwelling. So this man, Asim ibn Asim al-Bayhaqi, rahmatullah alayhi, he said, I once spent the night with Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal in his dwelling, rahmatullah alayhi. He brought some water for me. Look, a bowl of water. He left it. In the morning, he looked at the water which had not been used. And Imam Ahmad, rahmatullah alayhi, said, Subhanallah, a man who is seeking knowledge and he does not perform the Hajj. A man who is seeking knowledge and he does not perform regular night prayers. What was Imam Ahmad saying, rahmatullah alayhi? He goes, what sort of a student is this? I gave him water. Now this is interesting. The student thought he's giving me water to drink, but the water was given for his wudu, so he doesn't have to trouble himself during the night. But at the same time, it was a test by Imam Ahmad, rahmatullah alayhi. He didn't even ask him, do you pray tajud? In other words, you want to be a student. What's the point of knowing the hadith of tahajjud is not praying tajud? And he goes, a person who wants to learn prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam, the blessed scholars must also be honored. Goes beyond say. In Imam Ahmad Musnad, Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu reports that our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, the example of the religious scholars on earth is like stars in the sky by which people are guided through the darkness of the land and sea. However, if the stars are extinguished, even the guides might go astray. Now this is a very deep statement by our beloved messenger. He likened the scholars to what? Stars. So look what our scholars have said about this hadith. Unbelievable. Hafiz Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, the great Hanbali scholar, rahmatullah alayhi, in his Warathatul Anbiya, alayhi salatu wa salam, page 13 of the English translation. So he quotes the hadith first. He's now going to explain it to you. The religious scholars have been likened to the stars, which provide three benefits. Number one, the stars guide people through the darkness. If you watch those old films, and even in today's day, the people who navigate the sea, they follow certain stars to take them to certain destinations. So stars for guidance. Number two, the stars beautify the sky. It's a bit boring, just looking at darkness, isn't it? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala beautified the sky, scattered some pearls there. And number three, they are missiles that repel the shaitan who try to get into the heavens. The religious scholars also possess three characteristics. So you mentioned the hadith, you understand? I'm going to explain it further. The scholars, the stars, have three characteristics. They guide through the darkness of ignorance, like the stars guide you through the darkness of the night. They adorn the earth, i.e. like a magnet to others to embrace Islam. But the stars also adorn the sky. And they are missiles that repel the shaitans who mix truth with falsehood and introduce heretical innovations in religion. Subhanallah. Right? So look at the scholars. Have you understood how the scholars deduce things now from the hadith? All our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said was this. He goes, the scholars are like the stars in the sky by which people are guided. But what then did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? If the stars are extinguished, even the guides might go astray. Now what does that last bit mean? If the stars are extinguished, even the guides might go astray. This refers to the fact that no matter how learned a guide may be, without his referring back to the scholars, he too will be misguided. So this is a beautiful example of regard with regard to explaining the hadith. You understand? Have you understood the hadith? Right? So let me put it into my own words very quickly. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the scholars are like stars in the sky. Hafiz Ibn Rajab rahmatullah alayhi said, the stars have three benefits. They guide you on the land and sea, they beautify the sky, and they missiles for the shaitan shooting stars, because the shaitan start listening to what's happening and they get whacked by the missiles. They even call it shooting stars in English, which is interesting, even though they're not stars, right? Then he said, similarly, the scholars have these three qualities as well. That's why the Prophet likened them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to stars. They guide through darkness. They beautify the earth. Because when you look at an alim, what do you think straight away? You think, I'm looking at the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's the heir of the Prophet. Have you noticed that? When you see a proper scholar, what do you think straight away? You go back to the time of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because he looks like Sahaba. It's like, and even the scholars say this, because we go to certain places on the earth, it's like we're going back to the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anh. And then they are missiles that hit the shaitan. In other words, they're beneficial to the believers, but the shayateen who try to get up there thinking they are scholars as well, they get that missile, they chuck it, and if he hits them, he'll kill them. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if the stars are extinguished, if the scholars, there's no scholars left, then even the guides will go astray. Which means that we are not scholars, you understand? The guides are only guides, the ulama are the heirs of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now the blessed scholars rahmatullah alayh, they occupy such a position in the glorious deen. Look at their position, innit? This is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Abu Dawood, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Abu Ya'la and others. Look what our beloved messenger said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Think about this when you rest your head on your pillow. The death of an alim, the death of a scholar, is an irreplaceable calamity, an irreparable loss, for he is like a dead star, a star that's died. Verily, the death of an entire tribe is easier than the death of a scholar. SubhanAllah. So look what the Prophet is telling you. He goes, honor these individuals, They're not like you, you understand? They deserve respect. And again, he likens them to a star again. And look how beautiful it is. When a star dies, what happens? It goes out in a blaze of glory, supernova. And then it dies. And even when it dies, it create, the iron is created in the death of a star, which benefits people on earth. Even with their death, the iron is what the books and the things that they've left behind. The scholars, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyya rahmatullah, they said, the books of the scholars, what they leave behind, is their eternal children. In other words, every time you open a book, it's like their children. Because, mashallah, look how great the scholars are, they've left us all this heritage. And the Prophet said, it's an irreplaceable loss. And look what the scholars say in it. Just to mention a few examples. Sheikh Hamza Yusuf al-Malik, he studied in Madatania, he still studies there. He goes, some sheikhs passed away. He went back to America. When he went back, he goes, I could see the devastation. Just a few scholars passed away. He goes, they couldn't be replaced. What did the Prophet say? It is an irreplaceable calamity, an irreparable loss. For the deceased scholar is like an affair star. And then he said, if a whole tribe is wiped out, even that is less damaging than the death of a single scholar. Imagine now somebody goes to a whole tribe being wiped out of Jahil, you know, Muslims, but there's not ulama amongst them. Obviously, we'd be hurting it. Somebody goes to you, the sheikh passed away. We don't even live in the library. We should be really weeping in it. When the scholars passed away, the other scholars start weeping. When I was doing Umrah in 2000, Hassan al-Nadwi, rahmatullah alayh, Abu Hassan al-Nadwi passed away. A great Hanafi scholar. I was in the Kaaba Sharif, 27th night of Ramadan. And they did a massive dua for him. Why? Because they understand the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Irreparable loss. And look at the honor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him. We were in Makkah Sharif, 27th night of Ramadan. We were doing dua for him. And his brother goes to me, because who's he? And I go, I fell asleep chatting, I put the sahib over there. I said, no, he's a big scholar. The deen is expansive and caters for a variety of differences of opinion amongst the scholars. Now this is another beauty that people come out with. Hanafi, Maliki, Shafi, Hanbali. How many truths are there? One says this is halal, the other one says it's mubah, the other one says it might be haram. One says this breaks your wudu, the other one says this doesn't break your wudu. So shaitan puts doubt into your mind about the scholars. And they are working like the agents of shaitan. For example, let me give you an example. I've heard this so many times. They've asked me. He goes, is it true that the Hanafi state that bleeding breaks your wudu, Yusuf? So I go, yes, it does. And then they say, is it true that the Shafi state bleeding does not break your wudu? So that's true. And then that ring, you know, like, I don't know, it's like that sarcastic smile comes on their face. You understand that? As if, like, you know, well, there you go, innit? What sort of a religion is this? One says yes, the other one says no. So now the question is, that's not the question to ask. The question to ask is, can there be catering? Is it possible to have difference of opinion? Does Islam allow this? Listen to this hadith. In Tabarani, and it's authentic. Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, verily the Sharia came in 313 parts. Not four. Verily, the Sharia came in 313 paths. There is not a single path amongst them which a servant takes, except that by means of it, his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter him into paradise. Subhanallah. 313 paths. Who's saying this? Rahmatullah alayh. Who's saying this? Radiyallahu anhum. Our beloved Messenger is telling us this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes, there's 313 paths. Whichever path you take, it will take you to paradise. So now the question is, I can't comment upon that hadith. I'm not a scholar. I can only relay what scholars have said. So I'm going to mention a scholar who commented upon this hadith. He's a Maliki scholar. He's passed away. A great Maliki scholar. He established the Khilafah in Africa. Sheikh Uthman Danfodio Al Maliki, rahmatullah alayhi. He warned the layman, that's me and you. Look what he said. If a person knows all these paths, if a person knows all these 313 paths, and then he sees another path that contradicts these paths, then and only then he has the right to argue about it. However, as is often the case nowadays, if he is ignorant of even a single path, then it is not possible for him to enter into a dispute about it with others. Subhanallah. In other words, you go to that person, right? What do you say about wudu? Bleeding? Hanafi say bleeding breaks wudu. That's right. Shafi say it doesn't break. That's right, brother. And then he goes, well, how can they both be right? Well, forget about two, brother. See, you're 13, right? So then he goes, you know, he probably staggers back. What are you talking about now? Right? Doesn't understand what you're trying to say to him. What? 313, what's that? Badris. Very interesting. There's 313 messengers out of 124,000 prophets. Hadith in Imam Ahmad's Musnad, sound hadith. In Bukhari Sharif, there were 313 Sahaba who fought in Badr. And in this hadith, the Prophet said, there's 313 paths. Then you say, there's 313 paths, brother. Now let me pose you another question, brother. Are you aware of 313 paths? Could you just tell me? Just give me their names. So he goes, okay, Hanafi, Shafi, Maliki, Hanbali. That's four. Then he comes out with a Sufi tariqah. He goes, next, Bandi, Chishti, Shadili. Yes. That's eight. Then he starts going, right? Where's the other, you know, 305? And then he goes, well, is the hadith authentic? He starts to pull that one out. Yes, it is authentic. The scholars have commented upon it. Then he goes, I don't know, brother. Then you keep your mouth shut. Right? You understand? You keep your mouth shut. This is what Uthman done for you, Al-Maliki Rahmatullah. He goes, you can only comment upon this if you know the 313 paths. If you're not aware of it, how can you speak? Because you might be saying something which is incorrect, which is probably 100% correct. That's why we follow the highest levels of authority. Hence the importance of following the highest levels of scholarship, the mujtahid imams, and exposing the ignorance of the laymen who argue and try to find faults with them. Maybe it was for this very reason that our beloved messenger had said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I don't know whether it was for that reason, but it could be. Look what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Ibn Hibban, Sahih Hadith. What I fear for you the most, look at the opening statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He didn't say, I have this fear for you, or it troubles me. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what I fear for you the most is the argument of a knowledgeable, short-tongued munafiq. In other words, he's got information in his head. It can't be knowledge. He's a munafiq. He's got knowledge. He knows the riwayats. He knows Quranic verse. He's got a sharp tongue as well. In other words, even if he hasn't got knowledge, he'll still rattle it out. Both. What's disastrous? He's got both. He's got the ilm to bamboozle you, and he's got the tongue. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, this is what I say for you the most. Why? Because he will cause untold damage to your own. You know, you start listening to him. You understand? You think, he's quoting Quran and Hadith. That classic line, he's quoting Quran and Hadith. How can he be wrong? The Quran itself says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, many are guided by this book, many are misguided. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu said in Darimi and Mishkat, three things cause damage to the deen. Three things. One is the slip of a scholar. One's the argumentation of a hypocrite. He starts arguing with you. So again, when you get into this debate mode, when somebody goes to you, look, why do we have to follow the imams? I haven't got time for this. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi said, now this is very interesting. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi said, it is haram to debate. He didn't say it's makruh. He didn't say, it's a dislike, it's a great, it's haram. And then he mentioned, the Maliki school mentions, it is haram for the laymen to debate with the scholars, and it is makruh for the scholars to debate amongst themselves. Ulama, when the ulama starts debating, that's makruh. That's like gravely disliked. But for a layman like ourselves to start going against the scholars, absolutely haram. Somebody came to Imam Malik, started arguing with him. And look what Imam Malik rahmatullah said to him. He's antum harb, your war. Right? Somebody came to Hassan al-Basri rahmatullah alayh. He goes, let us debate about our deen. He goes, I know where my deen is. If you've lost yours, go and find it. Right? In other words, what you want to debate for? Go and find it. Have you lost it? And we seek refuge in Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from all forms of deviation and abomination. And what is the bottom line, the common denominator? You think you know better than the ulama. You understand? What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? He goes, they are the heirs, they are the stars, the guys can go astray, and yet you know better than them. You're not even up there, you're on the earth. And finally, how true were the hadith master, Hilal ibn al-A'laz rahmatullah alayh, words when he said he died 280 AH, Rabba Tabin, I believe, hadith master, Amir al-Mu'mineen of hadith. Look what he said: seeking sacred knowledge is arduous. Seeking the sacred knowledge is not easy. Learning it is harder than seeking it. Applying it is harder than learning it. And remaining safe from it is even harder than applying it. Subhanallah. That's a Amir al-Mu'mineen of hadith, the one who knows hundreds of thousands of hadith. With all that knowledge, he came to that understanding. So let's look at this. First of all, he said, seeking knowledge is hard. That's a hard, it's like you're doing now, you're learning it, it takes sacrifice. Then he goes, but learning it, understanding what's being said, that takes even more. Like when I go through the question at the end, you understand, that's hard, isn't it? What did you pick up? And then he said, applying it is harder than learning it. So I will get into my life, even harder still. But look, what's the most difficult thing of them all? Remaining safe from it is even harder than applying it. Remaining, what does that mean? Somebody goes, I don't understand that. The last bit needs an elaboration. What he was saying was, you do not become an alim. You do not have the right to discuss this. Remaining safe from the danger of this. I think I know something. And again, how true were those blessed words of this great man, Hilal ibn al-A'la rahmatullah alayh. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon him. So, is there any questions on that? So all I discussed there was sacred knowledge, right? And some of the other pitfalls and the respect that's most deserving with regards to the blessed scholars. Any questions you want to ask? سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون السلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والأصل إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات ونواصي بالحق ونواصي بالصبر صدق الله العظيم